Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church.
Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's our very special guest from Abundant Church in El Paso, Texas, Pastor Jared Niemann.
It's gotta start right here. It's gotta start right now. Lord, I'm starting right here. Lord, I'm starting right now. It's gotta start right here. It's gotta start right now. Lord, I'm starting right here. Lord, I'm starting right now.
Well, good morning. Good morning. How many love Jesus today? How many are so excited that God is on your side? Praise the Lord. Let's pray for a second. Let's pray. Father, we honor you, we glorify you, and thank you. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. Where your eyes are, where your heart is, always. Lord, we invite your presence into our lives today as we hear your word. And we say to you that where your presence is, there is fullness of love, joy, hope, faith, and mercy. Let every man, woman, and child that came to church today leave here better than when they got here. Jesus, we declare that you are more than enough to meet all of our needs, not some of our needs, all of our needs, financially, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and relationally. We join our faith with what your word says about our lives. And your word says we are the head and not the tail. We are loved and not the head. We are blessed in the city. We are blessed in the field. We are blessed in our coming. We are blessed in our going. Everything we set our hands to do will prosper because Jesus Christ has saved us and called us with a destiny and plan and a purpose for us. Lord, we believe in Jesus' name that your word says that Jesus bore our sickness and he carried our pain on the cross. And by his Christ, we are healed in the name of Jesus. From the top of our head to the soles of our feet, let every bone, every muscle, every ligament, and every organ function in your perfect design and harmony. And let no place befall our body. Say with me, we are healed in Jesus' name. We declare our freedom, freedom over oppression, freedom over depression, freedom over bondage. We are free because through the Son set free, it's free indeed. We will not be robbed of the abundant life that Jesus died on the cross for us to live. God, we thank you that we are more than conquerors. Victory has been given to us through our faith in Jesus Christ. We will not be robbed, we will not be forsaken, because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And with God on our side, we shall not lose. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please give God the biggest kind of praise. One, two, three, four. It is a privilege to be here. What a struggle it was. And thank God for the phone calls of the pastors, the way people, the phone calls of the attorneys. So, Jared, we love you because you have served law help. You're our best friend because you know smart people. I'm not the smart guy. I just know smart people. So, you know, I'm going to just encourage you today. I'm going to pump you up.
There's been so much heaviness, and I just have felt this calling on my life in the last few months. I usually just see it as some of you, walk on church sometimes, and I've just been really encouraging people because there's been so much discouragement. And I had one message that I thought I was going to share with you all, and I talked in my spirit. The Lord shifted to this message, and I'm going to pump you up. I'm going to fill you with faith. I'm going to remind you of who God is and what His purpose for your life is. And if you want to shout amen, if you want to get excited today, if you want to get all pumped up, you can. This lady likes first service so much, she came back to second service. I love you. You are my favorite. Hey, a little double Jesus on a Sunday ain't doing nobody any harm, is it? Come on, somebody. We are living in extraordinary times. We have been through a season of immense challenge. We have seen pain, tragedy, confusion, chaos, hurt. We've seen division. We've seen days where there was more questions than there were answers. We've seen contradictory reports, not over the course of time, literally in 5 minutes. We've been through things we never thought we would go through, and yet here we are. And I believe that even in the midst of this season of challenge, there is incredible opportunity. This is an opportunity to change. It's an opportunity to evolve. It's an opportunity to reassess. But how should we view our lives today? On this Sunday morning at 11:55 a.m., what should our attitude be? How should we view our lives, our marriages, our households, our careers? How should we view who we are in society? I believe that the danger of going through a season we just went through would be to come out of it the same or worse. I believe with all my heart, we can and should all come through this better. I'll say it again so that I can get a couple more amens other than the two people that were here in first service. I said, I believe you can, and in fact, we should all come through this season, not worse, not the same, but better. Stronger, wiser, more efficient, more creative. Okay, so maybe we're coming through it with some bumps and bruises, but those will heal. Not everything's perfect, but we can figure some stuff out too. Amen? Amen. Turn in your Bible to Isaiah 61. Are you there yet? Oh, you didn't know if the Lord didn't tell you I was praying that? You don't have a little black tabby thing at it? Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord has come upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. So we are to preach good where there has been bad. Did you hear what I just said? We are the good news. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, not to pour salt on their wounds, not to kick them while they are down, not to mock them, make fun of them, condemn them, and judge them. The mouth is a well of life or a dark cave of abuse. Which one are you going to be? We are to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Well, I guess you're going to sit down to that. The rest of your life, huh?
Oh, geez, yeah. Hey, you're just going to struggle with that depression forever. Oh, geez. Oh. And started taking some stuff. Well, it's not going to be like that.
No, we are to proclaim liberty. To the bound. And the opening of the prison for those who are bound to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of God, to comfort those who mourn, to console
all those who mourn in Zion and to give beauty for ashes. Boy, we seem to see this, haven't we? Come on, talk to me. We've seen ashes this last 14, 16, 18 months. Financially, emotionally, mentally, of course, physically, it happens everywhere you look. What are we supposed to do? God says, even in those ashes, you have to bring beauty. Why? We see why in verse 2. Because this is the acceptable year of the Lord. The question is, what does that mean? Have you ever read stuff in the Bible and you're like, what? Me too. Welcome to the club. Even us pastors go, what? From time to time. So I looked this up. In the literal text, the acceptable year of the Lord means this. It means the most blessed time where salvation and the free favor of God, the free favor of God, that means it's a gift given to you. It's free to you. Jesus paid for you to walk in this grace. We are living in the most blessed time where salvation and the free favor of God, listen, is profusely abounding towards you. So you just love God. I mean, isn't God amazing? He's not just blessing you a little bit. He's not the God of meeting a couple of your needs. John 10:10 doesn't say, I've come that they may have life and that they may have it mediocre. Well, I'm on your side, and with me on your side, hopefully you'll be all right. We'll see what happens, you know. If I wake up on the right side of the bed, I'll bless you that day. Somebody says, because we are living in the most blessed time where salvation and the free favor of God profusely, in abundance, more than enough, blow your mind. Let's not forget, this is the God of the abundant life. This is the God who has a hope and a future for you. This is the God who has sentenced you to a life filled with miracles, signs, and wonders. This is the God who says that if you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, he will open. He says that he will do exceedingly abundantly above all you've ever asked, dream, or desire. We are living in the most blessed time. I don't know, God. I really like the 70s. Still too big. I don't think that's good. I'm in the music. Walked all the way. I mean, dude, can we just forget about it? I mean, remember that chair? Like, what was up with the baby? Remember the circle baby? Exactly. Your baby was in the room before you did. So you're like, I had those babies. The 90s were all, they were all right. I was the 90s. Lisa and Kid by the Bell on Saturday morning. He did Mr. Mutant Turtles. Could anything better than a talking rat and turtles who love pizza? I feel like that's awesome. We had Nirvana and Pearl Jam. That's pretty good. Like, I feel like, did you say? You know, it's funny how we sanitized the past like it was so great. Like, you didn't have problems back then. Like there was a chaos and confusion in society. You know God doesn't care about the past, right? The only thing he cares about the present is the future that he has planned for you. And he's saying here, in
recorded in Luke chapter 4, that we are living in the most blessed time. Right here, right now, today, on this Sunday morning, you are living in the most blessed time.
Sharon, what will it be tomorrow morning when I get ready for work?
Tomorrow morning, when you are getting ready for work, it will be the most blessed morning.
When you go to work and you walk into a meeting, you will be walking into a meeting in the most blessed time, where God's blessing and favor will be profusely abounding towards you. In October, you will be living in the most blessed time. 2025. We don't even know who the governor will be. We have no idea who will control Congress. We have no idea who will be president. But we do know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we will be living in the most blessed time. And that's why God says, this is the day the Lord has made. So I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. How is it possible to rejoice? Because you are rejoicing knowing that you are living in the most blessed time.
But we don't live that way at all. We wake up. We can pray about God's provision in our lives. You know, a year or two ago, you were praying for God to give you that job. You came in here and rejoiced. You went to the mall and got you some new clothes. And now you're complaining about it. We still like you. God says, rejoice in the Lord always. Always is always. So that means you rejoice in the pandemic. You rejoice when you wake up in the doctor. You rejoice when you're stressed out. You rejoice when you don't know what's going on. You rejoice when the doctor tells you something you didn't want to hear. You rejoice when the Holy Spirit speaks in you in church. You rejoice when you don't like that God. You rejoice when you're struggling in your marriage. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, God says rejoice. Why? Because we are living in the most blessed time where salvation and the favor of God is profusely abounding on you, on your spouse, on your career, in your mind, in your body, in your soul, in your heart. We are living in the most blessed time. So let's get excited. We've had enough whining. We've had enough complaining. We've had enough low with me. I've heard enough garbage reports online and in the news. Can I talk a little bit? I'm so tired of this crap. Is anybody with me? Oh, it's the worst ever. This is the worst ever.
When I was growing up, I didn't even have internet. We had phones that were attached to the wall. You had to go through life not knowing anything.
And you've been walking around like, I wonder what that is.
Who knows? Now you just Google it.
Oh, there it is. That's what that is.
Last night we wanted to go see the Capitol.
Where's the Capitol? Oh.
second ago, we would have not gone to the Capitol. But Jimmy here, he's like, take me to the Capitol. 10 minutes later, we're at the Capitol. Oh, beautiful.
Also, it was built in 1884.
Everybody, it didn't go to a library. Who even knows where those things are anymore? Yeah, good right there. Y'all, no matter what's up in your life, you are a child of God and you're going to heaven, baby. We got something to rejoice about. Come on. Alright, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Says, live purposefully, worthily, and accurately. Not as the unwise and witless, but as the wise. Sensible, intelligent people. But making the most of the time. Encourage buying up every opportunity. How do you make the most of your time? You buy up the opportunity. How do you buy up your opportunities? By living purposely and worthily and accurately. You live with wisdom and not with fear. Because the days are evil. And I mean, you know, even in evil days, God has opportunities. Question is, are you looking for them? Are you so stuck on the past? Or how about this? You're only focused on the future. You know, so often we declare our best days are ahead of us, and God's like, no, this is the day I'm going to come. Right now is the most blessed time. You are called and appointed for such a time as this. God knew that you would be in this life exactly where you are. He knew you'd be at this church today on this Sunday. He knew you'd be in Sacramento, California, with married to the person you're married to, having the clothes in your closet that you have with your children, with your job, and your career. In this exact moment, you are here for such a time as this. You buy up the opportunity. But it's amazing how much we miss opportunities because we're not even looking for them. We're not even paying attention to them. We don't get promoted because we won't go to work with a good attitude and go above and beyond. So the opportunity is given to some other guy. We won't let our marriage be filled with happiness and joy because we won't let go of the anger we have from what they did 5 years ago. And we come in here and pray for restoration, but then we won't allow it to be restored. You know what that is? That's foolishness. You're living as the world lives. Unwise. Witless. And God says, buy up the opportunity. If you can win, the days are evil. See, I believe there's opportunity everywhere. Challenge in the midst of opportunity. So let me ask you a question. Are you going to focus on the challenge? Or are you going to focus on the opportunity? And behind every challenge is a reward. And the people that will overcome the challenge are the ones who don't focus on the challenge, they focus on the reward behind it. The reward, because then they'll do whatever it takes to overcome the challenge. But if you only see the challenge, you'll give in to it. You'll quit and face it. So who are we going to be? They got our pastors and quit when they got that $200,000 phone call. Why? Because they saw the truth. They saw the reward behind the challenge. And in all the pain, and all the crying, and all the questioning of themselves, in that moment where they may have thought maybe we're not called. Maybe this building was the worst mistake we ever made. Because I'm telling you, they probably thought it. But just because you think it doesn't mean it has become your faith. Thank God they saw the reward behind the challenge. Amen? So how do we do this? Number one, you sow seed and you take action. Galatians 6, verse 7 in the message, it says, whatever a person plants, he will harvest. I'm asking you a question. What future do you want for yourself? Have you reassessed? I mean, everything's changed, right? You've changed. You don't go to work the same, your kids don't go to school the same. Your habits, your routine change. Well, have you reassessed the vision you have for your life? Why is that so important? Because the future you live in will be determined by the actions you take today. You can have a vision for your life, but if you don't take action for it, it's only a fantasy. Every day you delay taking action is another day that you have put off the realization of a fulfilled dream. Come on, I'm not telling you something you don't already know. What good are your words if your action doesn't line up with it? How do you have to go seed and take action? You can't just put seed in the ground and expect it to bear a harvest. You've got to water it, you've got to feed it, you've got to make some Miracle-Gro on that. You've got to let the sun hit it. You've got to clean up the dirt around it, right? You've got to pull the weeds. So you can check it, make sure there's no worms and stuff growing in there. You've got to protect it, you've got to work it. That's exactly what you've got to do. You've got to make changes in your life. You've got to set goals for yourself. You've got to get going towards the life you want. So what you value today will be the future if you listen. So you want kindness in your marriage? Go home and be nice today. You want promotion in your future? Go above and beyond at work tomorrow morning. Oh, my boss is going to keep me on. I feel like he's completed. Does the Bible say to treat people according to how they treat you? No, it's just to treat others how you want to be treated. You want peace and faithfulness in your life? Go be faithful. You want peace in your life? Go be a peacemaker. You want joy in your life? Go give joy. You want generosity in your life? Go give generosity. You want serving in your life? Start serving the church. You go be the life you want to live. So see, and that's what makes you hope. If you're not going to do it now,
when are you going to do it?
Keep talking.
Big things, bro.
I'm working on something. And you've been working on it forever. What are you going to start doing? Join the gym. Congratulations. Go to the gym. I get some money out of that number two. Come on, write the song. Write the book. Forgive each other. Be nice to each other. Get a volunteer application. Forget.
Just praying about serving.
Stop praying and start doing. God wants you to serve.
Just praying about giving.
God says to give. You don't have to pray about what God already declared. Number two, I love it. Let your imagination run wild. How are we going to maximize your time? You got to let your imagination start running wild, but you got to let it start running wild on the right thing. Romans 5:17 in the message says, can you imagine the breathtaking recovery life meant in those who grasp with both hands this grand setting everything right? That the Lord Jesus Christ provides. So just take your imagination. So that means, if God's talking about your imagination, that means He gave it to you, and if He gave you something, it's meant to be used for good. And then, if God gave you something, it will produce good. Because if we're telling the truth today, most likely our imaginations don't always produce good. Why is it that we tend to only allow our imaginations to run wild on everything we are not, everything we don't have, and everything that we go wrong? Am I the only one? I can't be the only one. Have you ever gotten in bed at night? And when you got in bed, you were a totally normal human being. And one little thought came into your mind. And that 15 minutes later, you had a full blown pregnancy. Anybody else? And you have conjured up scenarios, and your heart beating, you're sweating. The world is digging in on you, and it couldn't come through, even if you tried to make it come through. We all do it, don't we? But God says, can you imagine this breathtaking recovery that life makes? If you will grasp with both hands what? The prayer is setting everything right. And Jesus came to give you. Jesus doesn't say you've got to go get right on your own. You come to the one who is right. Jesus says, come to the one who is right, and I'll just make you right. Because in the most acceptable year of the Lord, in the most rough time, he turns your mourning and dancing. He has oil for a joy for your sorrow. He turns your weeping into praise. He brings beauty from ashes. So can you imagine the breathtaking recovery that life can make when you are living in the most blessed time, where God's favor and blessing is profusely abounding on you? Can you imagine your business rebounding? Can you imagine getting healthy again? Can you imagine getting your finances in order? Can you imagine your friends and family coming to church with you and getting born again, getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and getting baptized in water? Can you imagine every seat here being full? Can you imagine? Can you imagine not being depressed anymore? Can you imagine being free from panic attacks? Can you imagine not craving alcohol anymore? Because you came to set the captives free. Can you imagine revival breaking out? You've got to imagine it before you can see it. So let's start letting our dreams and our imaginations run wild on all the possibilities, on all the promises of God, on what God can do instead of what we can't do. Recovery is possible. Recovery is here because of Jesus Christ. And this is the most blessed.
Number three. God is created. You're a creative being. You're created in the image of God. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to return to what once was, or do you want to pursue something new and something better? The only answer here is something new, something better. The world isn't going back. Can say something? God's not going back. God only goes forward. You want to know something? God's got a new thing. Isaiah 43, 18, and 19 says, do not remember the former things. For I will do a new thing. I'll make rivers through the desert, roads through the wilderness. God's got a new thing. New joy, new peace, new healing, new deliverance, new opportunities, new ideas, new creative solutions. God's got a new thing. Not old things. He's got a new thing. But too often, we don't even see the new thing because we're stuck on the past. We're glorifying what once was instead of glorifying what is right now. This is the day, not yesterday. This is the day, not 3 years ago. This is the day, not the pandemic. This is the day, not 2019. This is the day. Right now is the most blessed time. If God is
put you right now to your new thing. To make rivers through the desert, roads through the wilderness. New joy, new peace, new relationships, new volunteers in our church, new givers, new races, new promotions. God is the God of new things. So I declare over you rivers through your desert. Rivers of peace, rivers of strength, rivers of ideas, rivers of deliverance, rivers of freedom. Rivers of yeses where there has only been no's. Rivers of doors opening up for you. Rivers through the desert. God is the God of new things. I dare someone on the counter of three to shout new things. One, two, three. Come on, come on. Let's go back. Why don't we go back? We're going forward. Because we're going to be in the most blessed time. Last one, number four. Above all else, don't forget, it's still all about you. He is still king. He is still on the throne. He is still Savior, Deliverer, Redeemer. He is still Lord. He is still our High Priest. It's all about you. And I know the world is screaming loud. This is the truth. This is the truth. This is the truth. And the truth is, all their truth is just their opinion. Come on. We have a new habit in our society of declaring opinion as fact. No, no, no. That fact is just your opinion. Don't you love the new one? Your truth ain't true. It might be true to you because you perceive it that way, but just because you've declared the word truth over it doesn't make it true. Let me take it one step further. Sometimes it may even be true, but it's the wrong truth because it's a toxic truth. It's a depressing truth. It's a truth that has come to bind you and oppress you and keep you away from God's promises. And last part I said, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and it is His truth that sets us free. So what are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the report that this is the worst time to be alive, and everything's horrible, everything's terrible? Or are we going to believe the report of the Lord that says He still has a hope and a future for us? That says, greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. So we can do all things. We can do the hard things. We can do the challenging things. We can do the things we're scared of. We can do the things that overwhelm us. We are not quitters. We are not losers. We are not whiners. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Let's not forget that Jesus has been exalted over every principality and power. He is the name which is above every other name. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. So let Him finish what He has started in your life and declare over your life, I am living in the most blessed. One more scripture. 1 Peter 5, 10 through 11 says, and then after your suffering, well, I kind of described the last 18 months. After your suffering, he says, the God of all loving grace, who has called you to share in His eternal glory, will personally and powerfully for you. And then what? And make you stronger than ever. Oh my God. Can you imagine being restored? Can you imagine being stronger than ever? Can you imagine just
church reaching more people for God's glory than it has ever reached.
Can you imagine giving more to build the kingdom than you've ever given to yourself? Can you imagine your children growing up to worship and glorify God with their life? Can you imagine raising up the next doctor that will find a cure for cancer? Can you imagine raising up children that are going to be professors and lawyers and doctors and evangelists and pastors who are going to change the world for God's glory? Can you imagine Jesus Christ coming into your life in such a personal and wonderful way that He restores you and makes you stronger than you have ever been, even when you went through times of suffering? Even in all the pain, all the sorrow, all the nights of crying, all the depression, all the anxiety, all the hurt, can you imagine the breathtaking recovery that your life is going to make? Because right here, right now, you are living in the most blessed time where salvation and the free favor of God is profusely abounding in your life. Can somebody shout unto God with a voice of triumph and thank Him for His word? Praise the Lord. God, you have closed your eyes. Maybe you're here today. You don't have a relationship with God. Did you know that He's good? Did you know that He's good? Did you know that everything God did from the first moment of time until this moment right here, right now, was done and designed for you to have a relationship with Him? And it's one He created solely for your benefit. That benefit comes on two very important levels. The first and by far most important is the eternal one. See, when you have a relationship with God, what you're doing is making Jesus Lord and Savior of your life. Upon doing so, the Bible says that you are accepted into God's family. All your sins are forgiven, washed away, taken out of your life. You're accepted into God's family and you'll stay there for eternity. That means that you can leave here today knowing that no matter what happens in your life here on earth, you're going to heaven. And that's what it's all about. That is enough for us to worship God every day of our lives. But you know, God's got us more than enough. He cares about your life here on earth. He wants you to live the abundant life. He wants you to live in the things I spoke about today. If you put your life on the path that takes you to the abundant life by making Jesus your Lord and Savior. So I'm going to lead the church through what's called the prayer of salvation. I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me. It might be for the first time, or maybe at some point you had a relationship with God, but you're disconnected for whatever reason. Can I tell you that the reason doesn't matter? The only thing that matters is that you're here today. And you have an opportunity to get right with God today. Just that thought, to get right with God. For whatever reason, that resonates with you. And maybe that's you. Maybe you just know in your heart you're not right with God. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you believe in God, you believe in a superior being in the universe, but you're not right with God. He's not Lord of your life. You're not living in His ways. And you're here and you're broken, you're hurting, you're lost. You might even be tormented on some level. You're not right, but here's the good news. I assure you, He will help take what is wrong with every life. So I can pray this prayer with you. So with every head bowed and eyes still closed. If you're here today and I'm spoken to you, I'm connected with you on any level. And you say, Jared, I want to pray that prayer. I want to make peace in my life. Jared, I want my sins forgiven. Jared, I need to reconnect with God. Or you would just say, Jared, I'm not right with God and I need to get right. I've known for a while I needed a change in my life. I didn't know what it was, but here I am. You said I could get right with God, and now I know the change I need is I need to get right with God. On the count of three, you raise your hand up, and then we'll pray. There's going to be several of you because you know you need to do this. Don't leave here today not knowing not doing what you know in your heart you need to do. On the count of three, if you need to get right with God on any level today, you raise your hand up. 1, 2, 3, come on, pray. Just all over the room. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 minutes, 21 minutes. Praise the Lord. You're going to heaven. Repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, forgive me my life, forgive my heart, my soul. And I make Jesus my Lord and Savior. Forgive my sins, put my past behind me. In Jesus' name.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.